The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
The Superwoman Whole Health Fix.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
This is Dr. Taz, and this is my podcast, The Dr. Taz Show. In this edition, we will speak with Dana James. Dana, I had the pleasure of meeting recently, is a functional medicine nutritionist, a spiritual muser, and a photographer. She's educated at Columbia University. She's a triple certified nutritionist who's also trained in cognitive behavioral therapy. She's the founder of Food Coach New York City and LA, which is a functional medicine nutrition practice that helps correct biochemical and psychological imbalances through nutrition intervention and psychological exploration. Welcome, Dana.
Hi, Dr. Taz. So wonderful to be speaking with you again.
Definitely. And thank you for taking some time out to talk to us. We are excited to learn more about what you're doing. We're going to jump right in. Tell us a little bit about cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, this is something that I'll refer out a lot in practice. It's definitely not something I do myself. But talk to us about what it is and how it can help somebody with eating behavior and with food.
So cognitive behavioral therapy is a form of psychotherapy. And really what the basis of it is your thought, a particular thought, will lead to an emotional change, a physical change in the body, and then a behavioral change. And I want people to write that down. I want people to sort of create the cognitive model that if they have the thought right up the top and then they have three lines coming down from that, and underneath that, they have an emotional response, a physical response, and a behavioral response. And I'll go through an example of that with you.
Yeah, and I think so many people don't understand that connection, that just a thought will then create so many other realities in their life. So yeah, let's walk through an example. You know, it's one thing to say that, but it's so much harder for someone to grasp, especially somebody listening. And even in the patient room, I've noticed that people sometimes have a hard time grasping that concept. So walk us through that.
Yes. Yeah. And that's actually a really good model and something so simple for you to offer your patients as well. So to give you a little bit of background, my practice is principally in New York. I work with a lot of women who are incredibly educated, know what it is that they need to be eating, but they're super stressed. And many of them are single. And so they're going out on dates and they're starting to struggle with the behaviors on the dates and then sort of what happens with their eating habits the day after. So I'll give you a classic example of a client that came in yesterday.
Okay. Interesting.
And you know, the little thought in her mind was, oh my goodness, he may not like me. You know, simple little thought like that.
Right.
And so if you have that thought, how are you going to feel like pre going on the date? You feel incredibly anxious, right? Physically, your heart starts to race. You can have these like sweaty palms, just those typical feelings of anxiety. And then you look at the behaviors. And so one is, oh my goodness, I'm too stressed. I'm not going to go on the date, which I hear. Or they get on the date. They go on the date and the first glass of wine is down within 10 minutes. And then there's
they're sabotaging themselves before they start. Yeah.
What's that?
I said they're sabotaging themselves before they even start the date.
Exactly. But they're totally unaware of just this little thought that sort of filtered into their mind. So then they have three glasses of wine or more. Then they go to bed and then they're up late and then they wake up late. And so they feel a little hungover. They didn't sleep as well as what they otherwise would have. And they don't want to exercise. And then rather than going and making their smoothie for breakfast, they might go and pick up a croissant, okay? So if we just simply focus on the behaviors, which is, you had a croissant for breakfast. We're missing the entire picture.
Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on you. You know better than that. Like, can't you just, like, make the smoothie? Like, it's really easy to get up 5 minutes earlier and make the smoothie, right? Mm-hmm. Without considering what all that logic was beforehand. And when you understand that logic of, oh my goodness, he might not like me, you sort of get why this happens.
So how do we change that? Like, you know, thinking about all the women out there and how hard we are on ourselves anyways, and how we're constantly judging ourselves, comparing ourselves and things like that. How do you get somebody to change that first thought? I've had that thought. I mean, I'm happily married now, but of course on a date I've had that thought. He might not like me. I might not And we don't realize we're setting ourselves up before we even walk out the door. So what's the first step in changing that? And is this where cognitive behavioral therapy fits in, that it really trains us to almost reprogram ourselves, so to speak?
So there's really two tiers to this. One is to recognize that this is a thought that's known as an automatic thought. It just sort of comes in commonly. Or like you had said that you're married but not necessarily going on dates, but you've experienced this before. Or it could be like, my husband just passed me by and he ignored me. Maybe I did something wrong. So these are just very common thoughts that come through. So recognize that what is behind a physical symptom and a behavior and an emotion is a thought. Like, that is the precursor to it. And part of that is to pause. Phase two of that is to look at the core beliefs that we have. So the core beliefs go back to childhood. And the way that I look at them is they're based on how we value ourselves. You and I were talking at the Mind Body Green event, and this is the basis of my upcoming book, is that women base their worth on four key areas. And so when you can identify where that core belief is, you will start to see these little automatic thoughts linking into it. So the way that I look at the core belief, so this is like the mother thought and the mother memory. And then coming from that is like the automatic offspring memory. So there are, from my observations of working with clients, four ways. Number one is this belief that your worth is based on your success, on what you can achieve.
Which many
very
of us are
much
wired,
come into play.
Right. And we're wired to believe that from childhood usually, right? Like, you are successful.
Yes, this all comes from childhood.
Right.
And there's also an overlay of culturally what is going on. So we've seen a lot more of this since the 1970s, because this is a post-feminist movement. Study hard, work hard, be a success.
Be a superwoman. You have to do it all. Right.
Exactly. Which is like, you're a superwoman.
Yes.
Do it all. Do everything on your own too. Right.
Yes.
So you're in control of it. That belief. And then another one, which is sort of pre the post-feminist movement, a sort of pre-feminist movement, which is, I get my power from how I look. So if I'm pretty, then I feel validated.
Yes.
The downside, if I don't feel pretty, I feel pretty horrible about myself. Another one is this beautiful, wonderful, compassionate, loving side. And the core belief is that if I love you and I do things for you, you won't leave me.
Those,
so you can imagine how those things have happened in childhood. That belief I tend to see happens when either a parent is sick, they're ill, and the child starts to look after that parent because the other parent is looking after the kids, or they're responsible for looking after their siblings, or there's an alcoholic parent or something like that. It's very, very prevalent.
So I'm going to stop you, because those are four. Those are already, I just don't want anyone to forget these. So you talked about pausing to recognize your thoughts. You talked about the mother thought, which is really what we got from our childhood. You talked about the automatic thought that happens next. And then so much of it is tied with success, or tied with looks, or tied with caring for somebody. And then the last one, what's the last one?
The last one is sort of the ethereal type of woman who's sort of much more connected with her intuition. So she's very creative. And her view of the world is that there's just harmony. And so when she looks at the world, she completely doesn't understand why there's all this disharmony. And she's very much into her mind, and she can often retreat from social circumstances and get into a thought pattern that how she uses her intuition is where she gets her validation from. So she is a smaller group compared to the other three.
Right. We meet more of the others all the time.
Yes. When I'm in New York, like my demographic is those three. However, when I'm based in LA, my practice falls more with the ethereals there.
Fascinating.
So it's very interesting how you get drawn into certain cities.
Huh.
Going
interesting.
Back to what you, going back to what you're saying is that this is a core belief. So this is the core belief that has an influence on those automatic thoughts. So really core beliefs and automatic thoughts, that's the pattern there.
And so cognitive behavioral therapy, I'm assuming, comes in and helps reprogram, retrain.
Well, this is what cognitive behavioral therapy is. So it's identifying this.
Gotcha. So identifying these core beliefs that then help you to recognize your automatic thoughts that then hopefully will help you to change the emotional response. Do I have it right?
And the physical response and the behavior response. Absolutely spot on.
Wow.
And so you and I have a background in functional medicine. And mm-hmm. functional medicine is about, let's get to the core root of what that biochemical imbalance is. And so here you have cognitive behavioral therapy, which is saying, let's look at that from a psychological perspective. And it is such a beautiful pairing for those two.
Fascinating. And I'm assuming you get amazing results when you pair the two together, both the functional medicine world and the cognitive behavioral piece. Are patients able, once they understand this and once they're able to understand their core belief and figure out which one of those four categories they're in, what happens for them next? How do things unfold for them next? How long does it take? What might they go through to get to really where they can change, you know, they can change their brain, which I think is so hard when you've sort of been wired for a long period of time.
You want to be guided by somebody on this process so that you have this feeling of safety. And if you can imagine that you are caught up in these negative thought patterns and you're able to switch them to something positive, it's utterly transformational. Now, how long it takes depends on how open the person is to seeing their thoughts and how layered their thoughts are. So let's go back to the original example of he might not like me.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was to think, oh, you know, I'm amazing. Why would he not like me? Like, I'm truly a fabulous woman. Like, we're not in a sort of ostentatious way, but just a really self-assured way. So instead of going on that date really anxious, you come across just fun and playful because you can get really curious about the person in front of you. And so the emotions that come with that is just joy. Oh, I get to be really present on this date. And rather than going and having three or four glasses of wine, it goes to one glass of wine because you're engaged in that conversation. And rather than assessing
about
it, to think
yourself.
Exactly. And rather than thinking, is this person going to like me or not? Do I need to get approval from that? It's like, I feel really good. Like let's just go and see where this date goes. And I'm going to find out about this person here. A magical shift.
So the next day, I'm assuming then the next day you don't go and eat a croissant.
Exactly. Right, you go home and go, that was a really interesting day. Oh, I'd like to see that him again, or I wouldn't like to see him again, but it was still fun. And so I'm going to go home and go to sleep, and I'm going to get up in the morning and go and exercise, and I'm going to go and make my smoothie for breakfast. And so you start by identifying these thoughts. And so somebody who's listening to this call tomorrow, they start to be aware of the thoughts. It's very interesting. What are you actually saying to yourself? And then how can you flip that to the positive? Because that will automatically change your behaviors, how you feel, and the physical body.
Well, I love that. So, I think it's so critical for women to understand, and who, you know, the ones that are listening, is that you can change your thoughts, but it is an exercise. It's a practice, just like any other exercise that we take up or any other challenge that we take on. It is something we have to work at. It's not suddenly that you can have a day of saying, I'm going to change my thought, I'm going to reframe my thoughts, and it happens. It does take a certain amount of discipline. And to your point of really having a guide with you or someone that you feel safe, for people that don't have access to you, how would they find that person? How can they find maybe somebody either trained in cognitive behavioral therapy or somebody who can guide them kind of in the skill? Because I really believe it's a skill set and something that you touched on.
It is a skill set. So work with somebody who is a cognitive behavioral therapist and that they come on a recommendation. Because like anything, there's either going to be good cognitive behavioral therapists or there isn't. Just like they're great nutritionists, they're not great nutritionists. But there are also books. So you can start seeking out books where they will ask you these types of questions. You can work with a really wise friend. You can find workshops on CBT because it's a very, very powerful model. And so I'll go back and just sort of finish the example that I was using is so when I was able to identify that, then I thought, let me reframe that thought. What if my teacher wasn't being a nasty woman, which is how I had interpreted it for decades, and instead, she just saw my potential, and so she wanted me to succeed. She just wanted to help to sort of perfect, in some sense, my language. Then that's all that was. Because wow. A follow-on interpretation from feeling humiliated is, I can't be wrong. And if you feel like you can't be wrong, that's very stressful when you go and speak in public. But if I switched it to being able to go, it's okay to be wrong, and she was just trying to elevate me to that next level, totally different response.
Fascinating.
Just like I gave the response on the date.
I love that. And I think for all women listening, hopefully they can at least take that pearl with them, that really stop and try to identify your thoughts, identify your core beliefs, so you can change your behaviors and your emotional response. Dana, I always ask my guest, if you wanted to give something to them in terms of advice on being a superwoman or holding on to your superpowers so that they could be the absolute best that they can be, what would you leave them with? What would you say? If you could do one thing, this is what you should do.
Such a beautiful question. Melt. Like get
melt.
Into that feminine essence and melt. As in soften. Like Superwoman, where's her armor? We can take off the armor. We don't
hang
always
up your cape.
Need to be in control. Yeah, take off the cape.
I love
it's
that.
It's okay to trust. Yeah.
Melt. So for all my melt. Listeners, I hope you heard that. Her advice is to melt. Dana, thank you so much for spending time with us talking about behavior and cognitive behavioral therapy, something that I firmly believe in and recommend often to my patients. But I think for all of us as women, you know, including even elements of it into our daily life is so critical. For our listeners, Dana, if they want to learn more about you or to follow you, where should they go?
So they can find out more about my practice on my website, which is Food Coach NYC. So it's Food and Coach NYC. And then if they're sort of just interested in fun things that I'm doing on Instagram, which is my name, Dana, D-A-N-A, James.
Wonderful. And Dana has a book coming out, and we'll probably bring her back to talk more about her book as it nears. But follow her on Instagram and Twitter. And Dana, thank you so much for joining us.
So wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. Bye.
Take care.